We're turning back to the book of Proverbs. We're up to chapter 17, and we're finishing chapter 17 this morning. We're looking at verses 26 to 28. The first verse, verse 26, is about two different kinds of injustice. What injustice looks like. And that's an important theme in the Bible. We know what injustice looks like. And then we find out in verse 27, when to speak. It's a very important theme. We know when to speak. But it's a bit surprising because we're told more about caution in speaking. And then verse 28 actually builds on that and tells us when to be quiet. So what injustice looks like, when to speak, and when to be quiet. Those are the words that are given to us. Verse 26, also, to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. The precious word of the living and the true God. So verse 26 is actually building on verse 25, because you see that word also there. Foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Also, to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. It's telling you that there is something more that you need to know about the things that are not pleasing to God. And one of the things that is most displeasing to God is injustice. When somebody does something that is actually righteous, when somebody is engaged in righteous acts and they are punished for it, that's not good. It's an understatement, of course. It's not good because it is not righteous, because God is the one who is able to deal with both in regard to his wisdom. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. These are things that show us foolishness. These are things that bring grief in a fallen world. But to punish the just, to punish the one who's righteous, is actually to put ourselves on the opposite side of God. The person who watches the pathway of justice, the person who watches the way that things are unfolding in a world and the way they're supposed to unfold, is the person who is wise. To punish people who are innocent is wrong. And it also is compared to what we see at the last part of the verse, nor to strike princes for equity. In other words, to punish someone who is in a position of nobility for equity, for doing what is their role. Someone who's in a position of governing over other people, who is doing their job well. We've seen this happen, haven't we? When we've seen people marshal themselves against people who are police officers, for example. Not to be political, but to see the question of if someone is actually doing what they're supposed to do, if they're carrying out that which is right, they are not to be punished for it. They are not to be flogged for it. It's ridiculous. And this is the way that the proverb is helping us to understand the contrast between what happens in a fallen world unjustly and the way he views it. He tells us in Psalm 82 how he views it. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. We see that God's view of justice involves defending those who are afflicted, defending those who are needy. But what if someone is doing that? What if someone is accomplishing that? What if someone is doing what they are given by God the task of doing? What if they are in a position of authority and they have the rule to carry it out and they are doing what is right and yet they are opposed? That is deeply unjust. And that's what this proverb is talking about, to strike princes for equity. It's helping us to see the way that people are treated the opposite of the way that they ought to be treated. In order that you might see in its full horror what happened with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the one who defended the poor. Jesus Christ is the one who had the rule, the place of being king. And yet he was treated in this way, so unjustly. And we can recognize it around ourselves. We can recognize it as we see it in a fallen world. We can see it in the history of redemption. But we also see it more clearly as it relates to Jesus Christ. Why do we have to be told this? It's because the Word of God is pointing out something that sometimes we accept, that we take for granted. This is just the way it is. When injustice happens, we are not to view it that way. And one of the great benefits, brothers and sisters, of singing through the Psalter is having the opportunity to see things in God's terms. That's what this verse is telling us. This verse is telling us that to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. It's backwards. It's wrong. And it is not the way of wisdom. And it's important that we meditate upon that. Not only because we see Jesus Christ more clearly, but also because we see the character of God more clearly. And it helps us in a world where things are done in a way that is backwards. And sometimes we can get the categories mixed up. We call injustice justice. But verses like this help us. They straighten us out. They give us straight thinking. Verse 27 then tells us about when to speak. In an unjust world, there are many things that can be said. There are many things that are necessary to say. To hold one's tongue at certain times is actually wrong. And verse 27 is not designed, by the way, to keep those of us who tend to be more quiet, even more quiet, and more quiet to the point where we say nothing, even at important times. No, verse 27 is telling us something very, very important. It's telling us about the importance of sparing words and self-control. It's telling us about the importance of having a controlled, calm spirit. That's what the word excellent means in this verse. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. When we live in an unjust world, a world where princes are being struck for doing the right thing, when we live in a world where people are being punished, even though they are just and righteous, there are many words that rush to our minds. There are many things that come to our lips. And some of us have been given the gift of a kind of speech that sticks with people. The kind of speech that people remember. the kind of speech, that one-liner, that that person will never forget. But there's a pathway when we begin to let these words rush to our lips that we need to avoid. And this verse, again, is telling us about living in a fallen world, and it tells us about the importance of restraining our speech, knowing when to speak, and sparing words. And of course, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the example here. At his trial, Mark 14, Mark 15, the Lord Jesus Christ took on the role of a lamb that was silent. There are many things that the Lord Jesus Christ could have said. Why did he not say them? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was accomplishing something that in God's wisdom required restraint of speech at that point. And he did that so that when we read these words, we have a resource to help us to sort things out, to help us to grow in our ability to know when to hold back our speech. The book of James continues on this wisdom theme as we see the New Testament building on what we see in the book of Proverbs. And we see many things in the book of James about these matters, but at the end of chapter 1, verse 19, we read this: "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he encountered injustice at his trial, and he restrained his words, was providing for you a resource so that you might be slow to speak at just the right time? That you might be the one who spares words? That you might have the self-control that is needed to know exactly when to hold back? He that hath knowledge spareth his words. It's the way of wisdom. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Maybe you've had this experience. Someone comes along to you and they've done something wrong. And they come to you and they tell you that they did something wrong, and words come to your mind. Thoughts rush to your mind. I can't believe you did that. And then you see that same person go to someone else and they tell them the same thing. And that person waits. And as they're waiting, the person who did the wrong thing begins to unfold why. And it makes all the difference. Because now you're able to help that person. You're able to listen. You're able to understand what happened and how it led to that decision. You see, there are times when wisdom requires us to dig deeply, to understand what's going on. And it's the way of knowledge to spare words, and the man of understanding has an excellent or a cool and calm spirit. With the rush of anger, with the anger that doesn't produce the righteousness of God, it's easy for us to miss that opportunity to really understand what's going on. And sometimes that's what people need. And then there's some advice that's given in verse 28. Some advice that's given that is given to people who actually are described in verse 28 as foolish. Even a fool, if he knows when to be quiet, is beginning to experience the benefits of wisdom. The fool has lots of foolish things to say. The fool can go on foolishly for a long time. But when the fool pauses, waits, people begin to think differently. The word of God does. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You see, people in a fallen world understand this principle. It's very easy to say the first thing that comes to mind. The hard thing, sometimes, is to be quiet. Now again, this is not a verse that is designed to give you permission if you're unwilling to speak in situations that are necessary. To give you permission not to speak. Because the Bible says to speak the truth in love. This is designed to help you to know the times when even foolish thoughts held back can produce the benefits of wisdom. If you're a fool, at least have the wisdom to hide the fact from people. I know that the next thing I'm going to say is extremely dumb, but I'm going to say it anyway. That was the dumb decision. We all think of dumb things to say. I think of dumb things to say when I'm up here. I misread words in the Bible sometimes. And people try not to chuckle. But when we are being foolish on purpose, that's because we've missed the principle that's in this verse. Job says to Zophar in Job 13, verse 5, "Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." What's Job saying? He's saying, you were wiser when you were not speaking to me about things that you did not understand. When Job's friends sat quietly with him, they were wiser. They unfold a lot of wisdom principles in the book, but ultimately God sets them all straight. There's a time to hold our tongues. There's a time to be counted wise by holding our peace. And you see, of course, the example of the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ did this in a way that was extremely wise. You cannot say that the Lord Jesus Christ was a fool. But it is true that the Lord Jesus Christ took the place of fools. It's true that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on trial because of the foolish words of people who would not restrain their words. It's true that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he held his peace at his trial, was doing that for you and for me. When we blow it, when we say the foolish words, we remember this verse, and we remember that even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And we have another opportunity. The next time it happens. And in the meantime, we have the benefit of knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was at his trial, held his peace for us. He was not foolish. He was actually extremely wise. He was following the pattern of God's wisdom, a wisdom that was hidden from those people that were actually trying to destroy him. That's what 1 Corinthians tells us, that the apostles, those who saw the risen Christ, speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Never let it be said, brothers and sisters, when you're tempted to say something extremely foolish, and you know it's foolish, and you're about to say it, that you don't have a resource in that situation. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for you, that he kept his mouth shut at his trial so that you might have the blessing, the sparing words, and of exercising restraint. He experienced great injustice so that you might hold back at the proper time. And this is a benefit of the gospel. This is a benefit of the Spirit's presence. This is what has been given to you. Through Jesus Christ. I don't know what the situation is where you have to think about holding your peace, lest you say something foolish, or sparing your words. But I do know that the Spirit has been provided for you for just that situation. So then the question becomes, are we going to listen to the flesh, or are we going to follow the Spirit? And you know the way to go already. So the next time the Spirit points out the fact that you are about to say something that is unwise, you're about to say something that is going to demonstrate foolishness, listen. Hold back. Let the Spirit guide you. And the Spirit has been provided for you to build in you the character of Jesus Christ. Even in regard to when you speak and when you are quiet.